4:2, the words of my mouth and meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. In church, we talk a lot about service, about serving one another, about serving others, about outreach. I suspect we would all be mortified at the thought of a church that spoke nothing of those kinds of things. I actually read an article earlier this week where the author, a Christian pastor, was arguing that the church really shouldn't be about all that stuff. We should just get together and worship and leave the rest of the stuff apart. I was frankly mortified. But what does our worship mean if it doesn't mean that we engage in service to one another, to those who are around us, to do what God, what Jesus did, and what God plainly calls us to do? But when we read Jesus telling the disciples that if you want to be first, you must be last of all and servant of all, I think he actually means something a little different. I don't think Jesus means for us to simply run around spending all our time on service projects. I think there's something much more profound there. We tend to think of, you know, going down and doing a shift at Daily Bread, or helping with family problems, or going to Uganda to solve the light, or helping a neighbor, or visiting a sick friend. And those are all good things. Those are all things a Christian servant does. So there's nothing wrong with engaging those things. I hope we do those things. But I think there's something more. Follow the drama. The disciples have been walking along the road. They pass through Galilee, and finally they came to Capernaum. And when they get to Capernaum, Jesus says to them, "What were you talking about along the way?" Now get the picture. Because they've been bickering with each other about who's the best disciple. They've been arguing with each other about it. And they know that that's not the answer Jesus wants to hear. And of course, in asking the question, Jesus already knew what they had been arguing about on the road. And so I could just see the feet shuffling and the eyes are down looking at the ground. I envisioned somebody like Peter making up some story and trying to look. You know, Jesus, we were discussing what you said the other day about, you know, the prophet Isaiah. That's not what happened, but I can envision that kind of thought process going on among the disciples. How are we going to cover for what we were talking about? So Jesus sits them down, and he says to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." God's economy is upside down from the economy of this world. The economy of this world says if you want to be first, you better have power and influence and resources and assets and control. That's how you be first in this life. Jesus said if you want to be first, you have to be last of all and servant of all. Now, we all understand the call to service. But you know what? Have you noticed that doing good volunteer service is not the exclusive purview of Christians? There are lots of people out there who make no profession of Christian faith at all, but yet are very good servants who do lots of wonderful and loving things to help and care for their neighbors and for others beyond their neighborhood. Who are very good people that way. Now, yes, certainly as Christians, We should do those things. Absolutely. And then sometimes we think maybe it should go a little beyond that. And so we start to talk about what's euphemistically called servant leadership, which really, I sometimes fear is just a clever way to still be in charge, but feel okay about it. And so we call it servant leadership. Now, of course, there is a valuable principle there that most any good leadership guru will tell you, that if you want to effectively manage a team of people, you need to work to enable them to be their best, right? That's what a good boss does. Elon Musk, for instance, talks about train your people well enough that they'll want to leave, treat them well enough that they'll want to stay. In other words, try to help them be the best that they can be. That's just another piece of advice for success, for your own personal success. Somehow I think that yes, Jesus does call us when we are in positions of management, when we are responsible to lead others, we should view that as an opportunity to serve them, to help them be the best that they can be, to help them be effective in the job and beyond. But there's still something different, I think, that Jesus calls us to in this notion of success and service and what that means. Because I think from Jesus' perspective, serving is the success. It's not a path to success. It's not a way to have a more balanced life. It's not a way to more effectively get a group of people to do what you want them to do. That is the goal. That's the bar. That's what we are called to do. That's the end. Now, that's simple enough on the face of it. The application of it may be very difficult, but it may help us to get this rather strange reference. Because Jesus was big on using living examples of what he was teaching about. Do you remember what he did next? As a way to try to teach them, he called in a child. And he put the little child on his lap. And he said, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Well, how is that a living example of being last of all and servant of all? Just to put a child on your lap? No, I think what we see here is to receive a child in Jesus' name simply because that's what Jesus told them. Simply because that is an expression of the life and love of God that work within us. Is an act of faith, and is ultimately to receive the Father. Because you see, when we receive the Father, when we receive God deliberately and intentionally into our lives, then that changes our relationship with others. No longer, you see, is the priority here. Now the priority becomes God through me. And when I understand that the priority is God through me, then what am I going to do other than serve those whom God places around me? Other than work to meet the needs as best I am able of those whom God has placed around me. When we know that we are His, then we see the assets, the influence, the opportunities that we have as opportunities to help and serve those who are around us. Now that takes lots of different forms. If you follow the church on Facebook, you may have caught that I now am in the habit of putting out a little teaser for the sermon every week on Facebook. And if you want to follow the church on Facebook, you'll get them. And the one that I did this past week, I referred to what's sometimes called the Mother Teresa syndrome, where we hear this call to service, and we think that, oh, if I'm going to be a servant, that means I need to give up everything I have and move to some poor country and care for the most desperately poor people. And that's the picture we have of servanthood, real servanthood. And so we look to Mother Teresa, and she is probably the most admired, at least emulated person in modern history. We all admire her example of service, but how many of us are ready to do it? Not very many. Well, we're not all called to do that. We don't all need to do that. But what we do need to do is not stop with the Mother Teresa syndrome and think that's what service has to look like, but instead to realize that what God is calling us to isn't to step up and abandon the life in which he has placed us and go do something else somewhere else, but rather to take a new view of life where what God has given me, my abilities, my words, my mind, my thoughts, my time, my assets, my relationships, whatever those may be, and use them where he gives me opportunity for his purposes. That's what it means to be a servant. We can be a servant here in America just as well as we can be a servant in Calcutta. We can be a servant among people of assets and means as much as we might be a servant among those of little assets or means. To be a servant means to have a heart that says, I am here to work for the benefit of others. Not just to make me nicer and more comfy and have more pleasure, but for you to be what God has called you to be. I actually think it's what was at the heart of what's become known as the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not seek so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. You see, in the end, it's not about how I feel or what I get. It's about what I am able to do and serve in the lives of others. And this is the wondrous thing about how God has designed us. I know God has turned this the wrong way, but I want us to remember that the only real road to joy and fulfillment in this life is the road of service. The road to make my life better and nicer is a dead end. The road in which I work to serve those who are around me is the road that is satisfying and fulfilling and meaningful and brings us purpose and satisfaction in our lives. Now, I don't want us to do those things just because they're going to get us to that end. That actually becomes self-defeating if you follow what I've said this morning. But what I think Jesus is calling us to with the example of this little child, with his words to the disciples, is not just to fill our schedule with service projects or to, try to manage by helping people do better. But rather he's calling us to a changed heart that sees all that he's given us, all the opportunities, abilities, skills, whatever they may be, as a way to be of service to those who are around us. If we want to be first, we are to be last of all